Welcome to Nothing But Fantasy. My name is Phil Nasons. I'm the co-host of this weekly fantasy sports show. It's dedicated to all of you out there who play fantasy sports, whether it's daily fantasy sports, season-long leagues, or whatever you do. You can hear us daily on Max Sports Channels. My co-host is none other than Miss Andrea Lamont. Please welcome her to the show. What's up?
What's up? Let's see. Well, I'm excited about our new show, and I'm looking forward to talking some baseball, basketball, football, and whatever else you feel the need to talk about today.
We're not talking about hockey today. I didn't have a chance to prepare hockey.
I can't pronounce anybody's name in hockey, so
all right.
We probably won't ever talk hockey.
Well, I like doing hockey. I play daily fantasy hockey because I like to eat. But other than that, I don't. I played in a season-long league, fantasy hockey, last year, and I actually won it, and they didn't invite me back.
Of course, I see.
That sucks.
People don't like, yeah.
You probably get that a lot, though, right?
It's happened to me, more than once, and I always just put it off because I was a chick, and guys don't like losing to chicks, but apparently it's not just because of that. So if they're doing it to you, too, they just don't like to lose in general.
That's what it is. You know what? Good riddance. That's just 45 extra minutes I have every day. And we can talk baseball. And that's better. Baseball. Not that hockey's bad, but we'll talk about it sometime, I guess. But baseball. Now, you're a Boston Red Sox fan. I'm a Cleveland Indians fan. I guess that's my second favorite American League team. Were you surprised by that? Because I kind of was. I didn't think that the pitching of the Indians would hold up. And I thought that the Boston Red Sox would mash that team, and they didn't.
I absolutely had my hopes up for a Red Sox-Cubby World Series, and I was absolutely surprised. It was so quick how it happened, and I was really rooting for Boston. And, of course, I'm a big fan of Big Poppy, and I wanted him to be able to go get it done. But I mean, yeah, absolutely surprising. One of the most surprising things that I've seen all season, really. I mean, they had no problem scoring runs in the regular season. It's nice though for Cleveland. It's good for Terry Francona. I like him. I think he's a great manager and he seems to be doing well in Cleveland. So more power to him. Go Terry.
Go Terry. You know, he made the move of the entire playoffs when he brought Andrew Miller in. It's kind of like a term that you coined was the effector. It was a few years ago, and now people are talking about it all the time. That must make you feel good.
It does make me feel good. And Lenny's always like, hey, come here. Terry Francona really said it. He really, you know, he's always showing me anytime that somebody talks about the effector. And we should let people know what the effector is. And it's essentially the pitcher that comes in when the game is on the line. So it's kind of like your closer maybe, but not necessarily in the ninth inning. Somebody that can just get it done and strike out batters and take care of business to save the game, really. I mean, so it doesn't matter what inning it is. It's basically like a live or die situation in that game, and that's when your effector comes in. And definitely Terry's been making use of the effector and Andrew Miller. So we'll see how that works out. I mean, absolutely. And you see what happened with Buck Showalter, and it's people really like to judge the outcome of decisions more than they do, you know, the thought process that went into why they made the decision. And that's unfortunate, but there's definitely something to be said about using an effector when the time is necessary.
Well, you want to win, and that's what you do. You bring your best pitcher in to stop them from scoring runs. That's what you do, whether it's in the sixth inning or the ninth inning. That's what you need to do. You do it. And Terry Francona pulled the trigger. I thought about you when he came out there. I thought Miller was a bluff. I really did. And I was surprised that he brought him in at that point. But it was the best move he could have made.
Absolutely. Yep.
I thought it was a bluff. You know what the bluff was, though, of the American League playoffs was the Texas Rangers. I got sucked in. I lost money at DFS because I stacked Rangers hitters. And their bats just didn't come through. And the funny thing is that the Toronto bats weren't that highly owned, at least at FanDuel, most of the times. And they just mashed that team. Were you surprised by that one?
So I didn't really do a lot of looking into that before the series happened. But afterwards, of course, run differential came into play. You know, when I started paying attention to that, Texas was, they had a negative run differential. And the thing about Texas was that they had the best bats in clutch situations. So, I mean, obviously it didn't work out for them in the playoffs, but overall they didn't, they had negative, more runs were being scored against them throughout the season than they were scoring. Although they did have a very highly rated clutch hitting. So, I mean, whatever that means, it obviously didn't help them out in clutch playoff time. But Toronto, also a note about Toronto, their run differential is was hugely worse than it was last year. Like they had a 216 run differential last year. This year they had a 108. So it was over 100 runs that were scored, that they scored the season before. So in 2015, they scored over 100 more runs than they did in 2016. So yeah, their bats are good, but they definitely weren't as, they're not as threatening as they were in 2015.
No, you're right. You know, the thing too with the Texas Rangers, at least this year, you brought up clutch stats. They got a lot of hits when they needed them. They weren't bountiful where they'd get like send nine players to the plate like Boston would do at times this year, lots of times this year. But still, they would get the big hits at the big times. And I was disappointed that they didn't. You know, and Toronto is now in the final or the American League Championship Series. They're taking on the Cleveland Indians. What do you like about that series? Have you thought about that at all?
No, I haven't thought about it at all because right now I'm too busy watching the Nationals and the Dodgers tonight.
All right. Well, we can talk about that. You know, Rich Hill, I used to host an Oakland A's show, and then I stopped. And one of the things I was teasing their fans about was Rich Hill this year. I said, you know, I watched him pitch for the Long Island Ducks last summer, and then he ended up in the majors again. Maybe that's what we should do. We should send people who are on the fringe or on the outside looking in, send them to Long Island and let them pitch for the Ducks.
Why? Why Long Island? Is he the only guy, or I can't think of another guy.
He was great, though. Whatever. He was great for Long Island Ducks. But it's just weird that he came straight from the independent league to pitch for the Red Sox last year. Then he ended up with the A's, pitched good for them. And he's pitched decent for the Dodgers. You know, he's had that blister issue. But what do you like about this series? What do you like about Game 5 tonight between the Nationals and those pesky Dodgers?
So, do you know how old Rich Hill is? I mean, just...
He's 38.
He's like... Well, maybe 36. And he is the guy is solid as a rock. Problem with him is that he can't stay healthy and he doesn't go late into games because he doesn't have, you know, the innings pitched racked up. He just doesn't have any sort of stamina whatsoever. He's absolutely a good pitcher when he's on the mound. He's great. But I think the Dodgers are going to be pulling him out early and they might throw in their rookie, Julio Urias. Or they have another pitcher that they could throw in. They have a few pitchers that they could throw in. Rich Hill, I mean, is their best bet. Obviously, they used Kershaw yesterday or a couple days ago to keep them going. But so they can't use Kershaw tonight. I mean, then you got Max Scherzer going. And Max Scherzer's great and all. He's Cy Young candidate, and we all know about him. But he's much better against right-handed batters than he is against lefties, and the Dodgers have a ton of lefty batters. They have like up to seven that they can use against Max Scherzer. So there's a noticeable difference in how effective he is against righties versus lefties. So that's one strike against Max Scherzer. He does go deep into games, and he's obviously experienced and all of that stuff. I mean, what else can you say about Max Scherzer? He's playing at home. That's another ding against the Dodgers that he, you know, Washington is super good fans, super loud stadium, and they're going to be cheering like crazy. I think the biggest question is going to be what happens after. What happens when it's time to pull Max Scherzer? Or, I mean, making the decision on when it's time to pull Max Scherzer because of all of this, you know, controversy over Buck Showalter, what Terry Francona did with Andrew Miller, and when is he going to feel like it's okay to pull Max Scherzer? You know, do you just let him continue, or do you yank him out and throw in your relief pitcher? We'll see what Dusty Baker does. Dusty Baker is not very good in the playoffs. Like, his record in the playoffs is not good. So, I mean, I don't think he's ever been to a World Series. I definitely don't think that he's made it far into the playoffs. He's been around for a long time. But I don't know. I'm not really sure. I haven't really figured out, like, the whole clubhouse dynamics on that team. But I have a feeling that Bryce Harper and Dusty Baker, they don't really get along. That's my only excuse for Bryce Harper not sucking in the playoffs just as bad as he was sucking in the normal season. So, sucking.
Yeah, but, you know, Dusty Baker has been around a long time, but he's still a decent manager. He's not one of those guys who is going to go to give his pitcher the hook too early. He's one of those. The biggest detraction against him is that he burns his pitchers out. So I think Scherzer stays in, but I was a guest on a show yesterday, and I mentioned that the Los Angeles Dodgers are number two against right-handers, and they'd already milked Scherzer in game one. So I happen to think that the Dodgers are going to win this one. I don't think Scherzer is a big game pitcher. I think he's good at little games, like lots of them. But a big game, no thank you. And Rich Hill, his biggest problem, I think, with his stamina was his blister. He's gone distances. He pitched a lot of innings. When he's on the mound, obviously, when he's going good, they leave him out there. But here's the thing about this whole game. This is what I said yesterday, and I believe it even more today. If that wind is blowing from right to left, Rich Hill's going to end up racking up about 14 strikeouts against that team today. Because that curveball of his is nasty.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher when he's healthy. As far as the bullpens go, like the Nats bullpen, so since Max Scherzer pitched last week, none of the three starters for the Nationals lasted more than 4 1/3 innings. So the bullpen didn't allow a run in the series until game four. And because of the fact that the Dodgers have so many left-handed bats, Dusty Baker's really leaned heavily on, like, his lefties. Sammy Solis took the mound all four games, Oliver Perez in each of the past three games, and Mark Rapinski in two of the past three. So I would assume that he's going to leave Scherzer in there as long as possible. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Rich Hill is a good pitcher, and he can strike out batters, and especially if the Nationals aren't hitting this day. It's going to be a great game, I think. They really compare a lot in a lot of their team numbers. Like, their strikeout percentage is really close to one another. All of their stats are very similar, so it could go either ways. But I'm going to give the edge to the Nationals, one, because I'm kind of a Nationals fan, have been for a while, and number two, because they're at home.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take the Dodgers because they mash right-handers. They've already mashed Scherzer this season and in the playoffs. And I can't stand the Nationals because I'm a Mets fan.
Oh, I'm okay.
You know what, though? Here's the reason I can't stand the Nationals. Their uniforms. They have these uniforms. When I was a kid playing a Little League baseball, we played against a team called Rips Popcorn. And it was the same kind of uniforms. And they were cocky, and they had guys that were really good, and it was fun to beat them. And I just don't like that team because of that. So
One thing about uniforms, okay, and this is going to switch over to a different sport, but are you kidding me with the Steelers' uniforms? They look like bumblebees out on the field. It's absolutely horrible.
They're hanging those up, though. After that game, it's over. But, yeah, they did look stupid. But then again, Pittsburgh Steelers usually do look stupid. I mean, they look stupid in any kind of uniform.
Their fans don't care. They still love it.
Of course they do. But their fan base probably has the IQ of a thimble.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. That's fair enough. But I would. I deal with them every day.
You're a fan of some other team in that division, apparently.
No, not really. It's just that I live in Akron, and people here are either Browns fans or they are Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
And I see.
The Steelers fans, by and large, seem pretty ignorant to me here. So I don't know. So I guess that's where I stand with that. But, okay, so you have the Nationals tonight and I have the Dodgers.
Yes.
I like the Dodgers.
I see that.
I like them a lot. Better than I like the Washington Nationals.
Good luck with that. You better hope. You gotta hope you can keep Daniel Murphy from causing a bunch of chaos, because your Mets boy that actually, I'm sure you're just disappointed as all holy moly over that one, right? With Daniel Murphy leaving.
I was really ticked off about that, because I not because of the home runs he hit this year or what he did in the playoffs. I just don't like the way the Mets, and I've been a Mets fan for 47 years now. And I must say, they treat their players like crap, and especially guys, long-term guys. You know, they put guys like David Wright on a pedestal, and everybody else gets crapped on. And I don't like that part. But, you know, when Daniel Murphy went nuts last year, do you remember when he went crazy in the playoffs and was hitting a bomb every time he was at bat?
And again, he's doing it now for the Nationals.
Yeah, but here's the thing. His draft position skyrocketed because of that. Now, I want to ask you something. We talked about this before, I think you and I did. Do you think that the season before, if a guy gets really, really hot, does that mean there might be a chance that, or a good chance that he'll start the next season hot?
So you're talking like, if he ended the season really well, is he going to start the next season really well? It depends on the player. I mean, if they, some players do that every season, they start out poorly and then they finish, you know, very good. If it's a player that I think is about to break out, then I might give him, a few extra brownie points for the fact that they finished the season knowing what's up. They'll probably enter in next season. They have a good attitude. They have a lot of confidence going into the season. That could help him. So not going to fall for the, you know, average draft position going up way too high for what the player is actually worth. I pay a lot of attention to that. So not that it helped me out this year, but overall I do pay attention to that. And I try not to get too, caught up in all of that hype.
Well, that's smart, because a lot of people do. And that's a big mistake, I think, to make, because it doesn't, you know, like Daniel Murphy is a great hitter no matter what. He's going to hit no matter what. Okay, those home runs, well, we didn't really see that coming, but who really does that? I mean, that's an aberration. That's why what makes baseball special. You get those opportunities, you get lucky, and you take advantage of them. But I would have drafted Daniel Murphy highly anyway, because one, he's one of my favorite players, and two, I know he's going to hit. I know what he does because I have empirical evidence to suggest that he will continue to hit. Whereas, let's say, for example, like Bernie Carbo, a time ago. Bernie Carbo, he was hot, and then he did nothing the rest of his career. But people went nuts for that. You know, you have to be careful. You have to look at the whole thing, right? You have to take a look at their entire career before you try to make these snap judgments, don't you think?
Right. And yes, I could name a few players that I've totally made the mistake. Like Joe Mauer is the first one that comes to mind.
Joe Mauer.
The year that he hit all those home runs, and I was so excited that there was a catcher out there. This was before a lot of good hitting catchers were there, and the catching position was super shallow. And I was all about getting Joe Mauer in like the first or second, you know, this was before Buster Posey came around. So really, the number one catcher at least, and then, you know, maybe round two or three at the latest. I can't remember exactly where I drafted him, but my whole season was dependent on this guy. And it really, looking back on it, was one of the stupidest things I ever thought of doing, because it was a career year, obviously, for Joe Mauer. There was a lot of things in play that I should have paid attention to, like the fact that he just signed like a 7-year contract, and the Twins are going to roll him out there behind the mound every day, or behind the plate every day. He's not going to play every day because they want to keep him healthy. And besides that, he's just not a home run hitter. He's a guy that hits for average. That's about it. That's all you're going to get, you know. And then he's surrounded by a bunch of players that can't hit either, like players that are hurt all the time, like Mark Reynolds. And, I mean, I could go on and on about the reasoning that I shouldn't have done it. But, you know, hindsight is 50-50, right?
Always. You know, for me with Mauer, I think when they moved him from full-time catcher to full-time first baseman, it hurt him. I think he got so used to hitting tired and having tired legs that he doesn't know how to play a hit anymore with fresh legs. That's my theory.
Got it.
It's not scientific proof, but it seems to it soothes me to the point where I just ignore Joe Mauer, and to my own detriment at times. Because are you like me with fantasy sports? Do you have a dead to me list? Do you have players on there that you will never even look at no matter what?
Totally.
Oh, I do too. Lenny Melnick, your significant other, he teases me about it all the time because I have a real dead to me list.
He has dead to me list too, but maybe he doesn't admit it, but he has. We all have one. And it's like after a while you start to get personally offended at these players. Like, I really had some serious dislike for Matt Kemp when I drafted him in 2009, I think it was. But, you know, he was my first pick, and he didn't do crap all season, but he never hit the DL. Like, it's one of those times where you have to play him because he's Matt Kemp, but he's constantly got some kind of injury and he won't go on the DL. And that's really sucky for fantasy owners because that means you can't replace him. And you know, if you put him on your bench, he's going to start hitting. So you're stuck with the guy in your lineup until either A, he hits, or B, he goes to the disabled list. And it wasn't happening either way. So I've had a big problem with him ever since. And that's just one. I'm sure there's plenty of other ones, but yeah.
You mentioned one of mine, Oliver Perez. He was really good that one year for the Mets, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take a chance on this dude. And he never did a thing again. I was really surprised, because I can't stand watching the Nationals, that he was still – I was shocked that he was still in the league, to be honest with you. Ah, that guy, my goodness. The stories I could tell about my anger toward him.
Well, that's your own fault for just getting a guy because he's on the Mets.
Well, here's the thing, though. I did it because he had he finished the season before really strong, and that was when I made my mistake. That was the guy I made my mistake with, and I determined in my soul of souls never to do that again, never to fall for that hook. And that's the fun thing about fantasy sports and being a general manager or an owner of a fantasy team. You live and learn, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the best players learn from their mistakes and try not to make them again, but there's so many variables in baseball. Now, the Indian series with the Toronto Blue Jays. If you were a betting person, who would you take, do you think?
I like to bet. I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too.
It would be based on the Cleveland pitching and the Toronto hitting, right? So I'm a fan of Terry Francona, so I'm going to go ahead and say that right off the bat, that I'm a little biased in that respect. But I also think that not only were the Cleveland pitchers underrated, but the offense is a little underrated too. They finished really high in run differential. They have managed to – I mean, look what they did to the Red Sox. And I'm going to take Cleveland. I'm rolling with you, and I'm going to take Cleveland.
Well, I was going to take the Blue Jays, but now that you said the Cleveland, I'll take Cleveland too. No, I think Cleveland's going to be fine. I think the reason is because of Corey Kluber. They may end up going with a three-man rotation. They don't know that for sure. It could change. Francona is never going to tip his hand. He's got four starters scheduled, but, I mean, Clevinger, come on. He's not going to probably pitch more than two or three innings, and then it'll be like a pitcher by committee. But Corey Kluber, you know, this is a dude, something that you talk about a lot, mound presence. You want to talk about a guy with mound presence. Corey Kluber has mound presence because no matter what happens, the guy's expression never changes. He doesn't change how he pitches, and he goes out there and gets it done. He should be a Cy Young candidate this year.
Team has lost a game in the postseason. Neither team.
Nope. They both.
Neither team. Yeah. And what's up with Michael Brantley? Is he going to play or not?
He's not going to play until the middle of next year.
Oh, so much for that, right? I mean, obviously I didn't draft. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I thought about drafting him but I'm glad I didn't, obviously.
He's Grady Sizemore Jr.
I'm also, oh, lovely. He's another one. That's another one that I have some personal hate towards.
All right. So do Cleveland fans.
Wait a minute. Grady Sizemore. Maybe I think that I never mind. I'm moving on. But Cleveland's also at home, so I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them because of that. Maybe you should go to a game.
I'm going to both of them actually.
And this is your first time there, right?
What's that?
This is your first time at the park there.
No, I've been to all the Cleveland parks.
Oh.
I like this stadium too. But I just booked my hotel, in fact, just now, before we started the show. I'm looking forward to it. I'm wearing my Indians jersey right now, one of them. You know, when you talk about the Indians, though, you know who doesn't get talked about at all? And I think that he's probably their most valuable player is Jose Ramirez. What a job he's done. Now, there's a guy right there who probably will get his ADP will be low. And whoever drafts him next year, it'll be a steal, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely he's. But do you think he's going to still stay low? Think he's going to stay low in the draft?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
I think they just overlook him all the time. I mean, I've talked to people who didn't even know Jose Ramirez or what position he played. I mean, and they're fantasy guys. Nobody pays attention to these guys. After you get past Kipnis and, well, look at Santana, what a year he's had. I mean, you get past those two guys and Mike Napoli. I mean, okay. Nobody seems to care.
So, I hate to bust a bubble here, but I honestly, Jose Ramirez plays more than one position, doesn't he? I don't know what position he plays.
He plays third base.
Okay. Third base, of course. The only one I didn't see on my list.
But he can play left field, and he can play right field, and I think he even plays second base a little bit, too. But this year, he's been the third baseman. Francona did something very clever, and he put Lonnie Chisenhall out in right field, and Jose Ramirez became the third baseman. And once that happened, everything changed. And that, to me, that was another very significant move by Terry Francona this season.
Yeah, and he did have position eligibility, too. I remember that part about him. I think I owned him in my NFBC league, and he was like one of the very last. He was not anywhere near the top of the drafting the pecking order, but I mean, I don't think he was even drafted on many teams last year, and I'm almost positive that he had other infield eligibility besides third base. Like, I think he could play middle, corner, outfield, and that was one of the best things about him. So definitely sleeper next year.
Definitely a sleeper next year, I think so. And I think the sexier choice over there was Yan Gomes this year, and he didn't pan out. He got hurt. We got about a minute and a half. We've already burned up our time. See how easy this is?
Oh, I see. So that's it? We don't have any bad...
No, it's okay. That's what we have next week for, because the season doesn't start for 2 weeks.
Hello?
Yeah, did you break up?
Yo.
Yo. So that's what we got.
Yo.
We had a great show today.
Fine, but we have to do a show before I have a draft, basketball draft, on the 17th. It's next Monday, so we need to do a show before then, so I could talk to you personally. But you know, why not share the
okay?
Share the
I tell
knowledge.
You what, I tell you what. Let's go 10 more minutes, and we'll do 10 more minutes, and we had a list you sent me from RotoWire, one of the sleeper columns that you were written. So go ahead and ask me some questions about those players, and I'll do it. We got 10 more minutes. Why not?
No, thank you. I would rather hear your... You said that you have a whole list that you made on your own, and that's where I'm looking to scoop in on.
Oh, right. Okay, well, this list had Jared Bayless on it, I believe.
And okay.
The thing about sleeper... Here's the thing about sleepers in basketball. This is something that I learned years ago, and it's served me well. Look at the date on the columns. You know, things change in basketball on a daily basis. It's very strange how that works. Guys are in the rotation 1 minute, out of the rotation the next. And the preseason is one of those things. Basketball is one of those sports where you have to actually watch. And Jared Bayless was on this list. Now, Jared Bayless has an injured wrist, a serious problem with his wrist. He's not going to start the season. So, and they had him down there on that list. And I think that a guy that is going to go widely overlooked this season is Brandon Jennings from the Knicks. You know, Derrick Rose is off doing his civil trial thing. He's probably not going to even be back in time to start the season. Derrick Rose is another player who has also been hurt most of the last three. Brandon Jennings had an issue with his Achilles, but he's healthy now. He played very well at the end of last year. He looks good this year. So if you're looking for a point guard late in the draft, Brandon Jennings should be available.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Tim
so,
Frazier
yeah, I mean,
on that list, right?
Yes.
Tim Frazier played for the Portland Trailblazers last year for a little while anyway. He had a great end of the season with the Pelicans, But you know what the problem is that as soon as Drew Holloway or Holiday comes back, they're going to have an issue, and that issue will be playing time, and it won't be there. I would think that perhaps a better pivot, you know, because you want the guy to play 25 minutes. Now, at the beginning of the season, he will. But I think Lou Williams from the Lakers might be a better pickup. He's the sixth man, but then he sometimes starts. He might be third on the depth chart, but he always plays 25 minutes and he always scores. And he stuffs the sheet a little better than Tim Frazier does. So I guess Lou Williams is another player that I would look at the end of drafts. He's a point guard, probably shooting guard eligible too, depending on where you play. So there's another one.
Okay, what about this one that I was interested in, Ron Hollis Jefferson?
Okay, Rondae Hollis Jefferson is a fine player. He's the player that the Portland Trailblazers traded for. I can't remember who he traded for them now, but they traded him for somebody. I can't remember who now. Well, it doesn't matter. He was injured a lot last year, most of it anyway. You know what? He's a good guy for steals. He's a very good guy for steals. But you know what? The problem, well, you know, he might not be bad in the end. The thing about it, go ahead. What's that?
He's going to get minutes. I mean, I totally agree with you that, number one, in the beginning, like the preseason, things are going to change. But Lenny taught me from day one with basketball that you have to find guys that are going to get minutes. You can't, you know, you have to find guys that are going to play. And it seems like this guy has a spot, other than Brooke Lopez. They say that no other player on the Nets roster is going to have as many minutes. So he only played 29 games last year as a rookie. He had a broken ankle, but when he did play, they say that he played well. It seems like he has a spot.
He does have a spot, but you know who also is going to get a lot of minutes is Jeremy Lin. And Jeremy Lin, when he has these situations, now there's a guy who's probably going to be a sleeper. And when I say sleeper, I mean somebody who's going to outdo where they're drafted. Right. I think that when he gets these high usage situations, he goes nuts. And he did it in Charlotte last year. He did it a couple times in Houston. And before that, the Lin Sanity thing was just off the hook.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that could be the case there. Now, the thing about when Lin Sanity, where a couple guys like Landry Fields and Steve Novak ended up making a lot of extra money because Jeremy Lin gave them the ball in transition. That could very well happen for Rondae Hollis Jefferson. On that list of players that you sent me, he's probably the one that I would keep. I probably wouldn't be able to find too many players better than him, but I would draft him toward the end of the draft. I wouldn't take him like in the seventh or eighth round. Well, how big is your draft? How many teams in your league?
There's 12 teams, and I wouldn't draft him till the end. I mean, on this list, he's showing that he's, like, undrafted in ESPN leagues.
Which is normal, yeah. But you know what? Most of those leagues are 10 teams.
Well, we have a 12-team league, and, you know, of course, these. But what about some sleepers that are going to, you know, that I might want to pick in the middle of the draft? That, I mean, they might not be considered sleepers to David, because David thinks that nobody's a sleeper unless they're being drafted like past 200. But for me, a sleeper is what you say, somebody that they outperform their draft position. So guys that I could be looking for in like the fourth or fifth round maybe, or even the third round, that are actually, you know, going to perform like they should be in the first or second round. You have any of those off?
Yeah, you know what? I do. I wrote an article that's posted over at Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports, and I'm pulling it up now because that article actually had everything to do with the players that you were looking for. I believe Brandon Jennings was on that list, but he was more of a late-round guy. I'm pulling it up right now. You know who's going to be really good this year at point guard for the Atlanta Hawks is Dennis Schroeder. This is his first season as the starter. But last season, he finished ninth in usage, and he only averaged 20 minutes a night. Now, he was the backup point guard then. He's the full-time guy, and there's really not anyone right now other than maybe Malcolm Delaney for the Hawks that are going to push him. So he's a guy right there who's going to get high usage. He's going to have opportunities. He's going to get steals. He's going to get assists. He's going to probably get a few rebounds because that's the way that team works. And more importantly, he's going to get lots. He's got the green light to shoot. And that's important. Another one who's going to probably blow up like a balloon is Victor Oladipo. Now, he's getting drafted. His ADP is like 31. But the thing is he's playing alongside Russell Westbrook. And usually the person that does benefits very much from this. I mean, benefits a lot from this. And he's one of those guys. He played for Scott Skiles in Orlando last season, and he had a tough time. I mean, Scott Skiles has this funny rotation. 1 minute you're in, the next minute you're out. It's hard to get a rhythm. Billy Donovan, the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, has already said the guy's going to play 35 minutes. He's going to do things like this and that. He might not be better than James Harden or Jimmy Butler, but I'm going to tell you right now, he may finish the season as the number three shooting guard. And he's also dual eligible because he played point guard a lot last year. He'll probably be the backup point guard for the Oklahoma City now, or the Thunder now that Cameron Payne's out with a broken foot. So Victor Oladipo, third round. If you get him in the third round, grab him because that's going to be a fantastic pickup. Another one, Evan Fournier from Orlando Magic. He's going to benefit actually from Victor Oladipo being traded. Okay. So this is Fournier's going around 50 on his ADP. So that would be like the fifth round. Now, if he's still around in the fifth round, you grab him because he's probably going to finish in the top seven, maybe, in shooting guards. And the reason is because he's going to get to shoot. Because he's playing for a coach, Frank Vogel, who likes to let his shooting guards go off. And this kid went off. If you're playing daily fantasy, he was he was a stalwart, a must play for about the first 3 months of the season last year. So there's another one. I'll give you two more. Clint Capella, Houston Rockets center. Now, his ADP right now is at 146.
Okay.
That's Looney Tunes, and that means you should win your league. If he's sitting on your waiver wire in any league format that you are playing in, you should win your league because this kid is going to do some damage. He's going to average a double-double this season. He's going to play at least 25 minutes a night. There is nobody there to stop him. He's not looking over his shoulder in any way, shape, or form. He's gotten bigger. I watched him play the other night. This was in China where it's a long flight. And he was fantastic, lights out. I like him a lot. And he's another one that you're going to get at the end of your draft probably. Now, I'm stunned that he's at 146. I really am. And maybe that was at the time of my writing. But it's incredible. And I believe Capella is dual eligible on ESPN. I believe that to be the case. I think so. I'm looking right now. And what I see here is that he is only center eligible and his ADP has jumped up since the time I wrote that thing to 116, which is still too high.
So like sometimes they start to jump up and then they go up way too high. So like where would it be too high to draft this guy?
10th round. Before the 10th round. Before the 9th round.
Okay.
But he's going to be something. And more than likely, if you do that, if you play at Yahoo, he's probably dual eligible. He might be eligible as a point guard because Yahoo just lets everybody be eligible at every position, it seems. But, isn't that something? Isn't that something how these sites are so different? Play ESPN and he's center eligible only. And then you go over to CBS and he's a power forward, small forward. You never know. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's pretty crazy. I'm actually at ESPN for my basketball league, so I'm looking this guy up. Well, I don't even need to look him up now. But, so I'm excited. And, you know, we can direct people over to LennyMelnickFantasySports.com where your articles are. You do a weekly football article. And, hey, I got to say, honestly, I shouldn't say this because I should want to share the post with everybody, but we've been doing these football daily league. Played baseball Tout Wars. They have a weekly competition and we pick our football players for the week over at, I think it's DraftKings, not FanDuel, but either way, I take players off of your list. And a couple weeks ago, I came in second place by like a tenth of a point. So, wow. And this was all players, and they work really easy because most of the times you'll find like a group of players that people, you know, they, they recommend a group of players, but you couldn't possibly get all those players together on the same team. So one thing I like about your recommendations is that it's really easy to build a team because you put a lot of different priced players in there so that it makes it easy to come up with, like, you know, a couple really expensive guys, a couple some really cheap guys. So anyway, thanks for that. And that's also up every week. And if, and I know you have more than one basketball article too that I should be checking out, and I will
for Monday. Yeah, you get them all up there. And I'll probably do a couple more this weekend if I have time. I don't watch college football. I can't play fantasy college, so I don't do it. But, yeah, we'll get the rest of our rankings up there. And then if you have any questions, you can hit us up over – just find Andrew over at LennyMulnickFantasySports.com, and we'll try to answer them on air. All right. Well done. Our first show is in the can. Well done, my friend. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Thanks for asking me. For Andrea Lamont, I'm Phil Nasis. We want to thank you for listening to Nothing But Fantasy.